So we have a lot to be thankful for. And we are people of faith, and we are thankful for all the promises in the Bible. Because Jesus Christ paid the price that every one of those promises can be yours and can be mine. All we have to do is believe. Believe means and implies that you must know the promise. You must accept it. You must live it, which means you must speak it and do it. If you do that, then all the promises come to you sooner or later. If you notice in all of the teachings on prayer, not once are we told how long the prayer will take for manifestation. Because how long it takes depends on many factors, not the least of which is you and where you've been and where you're going and your persistence. So on Friday, we started a series called Persistence or Persistent Faith. I want it to be closely associated with faith. So I keep vacillating between persistent faith. I want to call it persistent faith, and I think God wants to call it persistence. So I think we'll give in and do it His way. So we're going to call it a series on persistence. And so Friday was part one of persistence, and today's part two of persistence. So on Friday, we saw that Mark 11:24, the prayer of faith, tells us that whatever we desire, when we prayed, if we believed that we receive at the point in time when we prayed, then we shall have the manifestation. And the time between the amen of the prayer, where you believe you have received, where you believe God has already done it spiritually, God has sent the spiritual answer. The time between the amen and the manifestation, the Bible calls standing in faith, which is really a time of spiritual warfare. Now, if in that time of spiritual warfare you are persistent, then you will have success in every prayer, and you'll get what you prayed for, or an Ephesians 3:20 answer, which is something which can be exceedingly greater, above and beyond anything you dared to ask, hope, or prayed. So you get what you prayed for based on the promise, or something much greater. Amen? Now, how long will it take? We don't know. You keep being persistent and you keep fighting until you get the victory. Because in the game of life, the referee is your Heavenly Father. The game has been rigged. We have already won. The enemy is the devil, and he's already defeated. We've won the game, and we will always win if we don't quit. Winners never quit because they are persistent. And today we want to talk about part two in persistence. Now, we left you on Friday with this worldly quotation, which I had on my wall for at least 30 years, maybe longer, could be closer to 40 or 50. And I'll read it to you again because I like it so much. It's on persistence. It's a worldly quotation. I don't know who the author is or was. And it's looking at it not from a godly point of view, but from a worldly perspective, as what achieves and what changes things in this world, you know, leaving God out of the system. In other words, giving you and your characteristics and your personality and your talents, what can you do with it? And so it says persistence. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Nothing can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing in the world is more common than unsuccessful men with great talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. What did I say about starving artists? Right? Education will not. You know, some of these artists who starved and maybe died from malnutrition, their paintings are worth millions today. Millions. And this lady talked about finding the hidden things. This lady went to a garage sale, and for $7, she bought a Renoir in a garage sale. Not too shabby, huh? Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence, determination alone are omnipotent. Now we know God is omnipotent, but we also know God never gives up. Amen? Okay. So, today we talk about persistence, part two. Or, if I can sneak it in, persistent faith, part two. He didn't say I couldn't talk about it. He just said, let's call this series persistence. I'm sure glad God has a sense of humor, huh? I mean, to put up with you and me, he must have a sense of humor. So, I want to talk today about persistence in the area of healing manifestations. I want to use healing as a vehicle for teaching. Because healing is so, the need for healing is so prevalent. Healing is so clear-cut, and there's so many examples in the scriptures on healing. So it's a good way to illustrate how the principles of God's kingdom works. So in terms of healing manifestation, we understand that there's prayer, some form of prayer. And we have a whole 1.5 years of healing school teaching different forms of prayer, a different means of achieving your healing. But we know that once we pray, that there could be a period of time before the manifestation comes. And so I want to look at that period of time from different perspectives. Not only is there a period of time before the fullness of the manifestation comes, but there could also be a gradations, levels of healing. Somebody who's got the flu, they've got a high temperature, they may be in discomfort, they may be coughing, they could get prayer, and you know the temperature could go down to normal, but they could still be coughing, right? For a while. So I want to look at four areas of persistence in healing manifestations. Part one is manifestations coming in phases. So manifestation in phases or stages. Manifestation in phases or stages. Part two is manifestations over time. So manifestations in phases or stages, and then manifestations over a period of time. Part three is what I call one in the pipeline. One in the pipeline. And part four is one to come. One in the pipeline and one to come. I think that if you have a good understanding of what I'm trying to say this morning, it will help you in the future as you battle through different challenges in your life. Different challenges in your life. They say it's always darkest before the dawn. Sure, certainly is the coldest before the dawn, because the sun hasn't been warming anything up for a long time. It's been losing its heat, so it's coldest before the dawn. And so many times when you are standing in faith for a financial blessing or a healing blessing or any kind of a blessing from God, it oftentimes gets worse. And so a good attitude is when it gets really bad, you say, praise God, the victory must be close because it's cold in the morning. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So let's talk about manifestation in phases. I'm not saying that all healing, prayer, and manifestation follow these stages. I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying that these are the only ones. I'm just saying for the purposes of teaching and showing a process, I'm going to illustrate it by picking out four phases and demonstrating them. So manifestation in phases. Number one, I call recover. Recover. Person recovers. Now, recovery doesn't mean necessarily a fullness of manifestation. It means a person is challenged and they've recovered. Doesn't mean they've been healed. Oftentimes, recovery is a little bit short of what you might want to call healing. If a person is on the verge of dying in the hospital and you go and pray and they're no longer in danger of dying, in fact, they've gotten so much better, they're out of ICU in a regular hospital room, you say they've recovered. They are recovering. They've recovered from being near death and now they're stabilized, right? Okay, so this recovery. Recovery, a good scripture for that is Mark 16, verse 18. It says, these signs shall follow believers. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say they shall be healed. It doesn't say they shall be restored. They shall recover. Now, many times, especially when you're dealing with an unbeliever, the recovery is total, instantaneous. You lay hands, zappo, the person gets healed. And in fact, in dealing with unbelievers, that's the kind of thing you would want to expect, is to see instantaneous healing. I remember when I used to be the director of technology for a major motion picture studio. And when I left, two years later, I got a call from a lady who used to work for me. And she was from India. She used to be a Hindu, and she had become a believer because her baby had been challenged with leukemia, and God had healed her. Jesus had healed her, and she had become accepted Jesus. And so when she had a new son, and the son was taken by helicopter to Loma Linda University, she called me right away. She probably called me before the helicopter landed and said, could you come pray for my son? Because she remembered I'd prayed for the daughter. I said, sure, I'll come to San Bernardino to pray for your son, but I have a condition. The condition is this time bring your husband. Because last time I had ministered to him. So I said, you two meet me at the hospital and I'll be there. So I went over to the hospital and baby was in bad shape. Didn't think the little boy was going to make it. And so I went in and I said, no, I'm going to pray. Jesus is going to heal him. And you're both going to bring him to church and dedicate him to Jesus. Right? They said, yes. I said, okay. I laid my hand. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And I left. I don't think I was there longer than 2 minutes. Maybe 3 minutes. Very short time. A couple weeks later, they brought the baby to church. He was dedicated. Praise God. Hallelujah. No, that's recovery. But many times, especially when you're dealing with believers, and especially believers who've gotten healing repeatedly, and you're praying for them, the recovery may just be a small step. Because by this time, they should have the faith to recognize the change, give the glory to God, and then use that to dig in more and more. Right? So the recovery can be anything from, my word, it can be from the person is in hospital, maybe the counter for some measurement goes up by 10 points. And they're still in bed, still hooked up to machines, but at least know this particular counter has gone up by 10 points, which is good. Could be as simple as that. But that should be the starting point for them to dig in and say, okay, I see. I see the little small cloud. Like Elijah. Prepare for a flood of healing. You got it?
Yeah.
So that's recovery. That's used in Mark 16, verse 18. The next one is raised up. Raised up in general is a higher level than recover. Recover, believe me, again, we're talking about believers here, not unbelievers. Recover for believer generally is a small amount. Believers who know about healing. Raise up when you anoint them. The person is taken out of wherever they are to a higher level, to a higher level of strength, a higher level of appearance. But that doesn't mean they have been healed or totally healed or restored. James 5, verse 15 says, starting in verse 14, is there any sick among you, referring to believers, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save them, and the Lord shall raise them up, and if he has sins, they shall be forgiven. The Lord will raise them up. Now, in healing school, we teach that the starting point for healing for a believer is this scripture. And in healing school on day one, we anoint people, and they get healed. In fact, yesterday was healing school, and we had about five people who give testimonies of being healed.